Well, we're in Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll look at some of these first few verses for a few minutes. This last chapter, remember, he talked about the tabernacle and the various things in the tabernacle and what they represented and the difference between the earthly sanctuary and the heavenly sanctuary. And how much better the new covenant is than the old. He mentioned in verse 22 that without shedding of blood there's no remission. And of course we talked about that. And that it's appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. And he emphasizes that his next appearance is going to be vastly different than his first. His first was to take care of sin. His second one is going to be for salvation. So two entirely different comings for him. Well, that leads us then into chapter 10. He says, for the law, talking about the old covenant, the law of Moses, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. And of course, that's what he's been talking about really in the past three chapters, is that the old law could never completely get rid of guilt on the people's part. And so there had to be a replacement. In other words, you can't have two laws in place at the same time. One has to be in effect after the other. You can't have two in effect at the same time. So he says the old law was just a shadow. Okay, it wasn't the real thing. A shadow is just a faint image of the real thing. So the old law with its sacrifices and its altar and its shedding of blood and its Day of Atonement and all of that was just a faint image of what was going to come with Christ. He says the law, with its continual offering, year after year after year, he says, they could never make those who approach perfect. It could never completely remove guilt. It simply delayed it year after year after year. So that guilt was still there, and that punishment basically was just delayed for a year, and then delayed another year, and delayed another year. It never could completely make those people perfect. Could never get rid of guilt. He says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. See, if those sacrifices could have taken away the guilt, then they wouldn't have had to be continually offered over and over and over again. He says, if it was possible, then they wouldn't have been offered anymore. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But they did. So once a debt is paid, it's paid. See, under the Old Testament, the debt wasn't completely paid. Under the New Covenant, it is. So he says, if they could have completely taken care of the guilt and the punishment of sin, then they would have been purified and they would have had no more consciousness of sins. In other words, they would have had no more awareness of sins. Let's go back and read Acts chapter 13 because this bears right on what he is talking about. Acts 13 verse 38 and 39. And this is just exactly what he's talking about. Verse 38 of Acts 13 says, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, the law of Moses could not declare someone not guilty. And that's what the idea of being justified is. You're innocent. Well, the law of Moses couldn't do that. He says Christ is the only one that's able to do that. It's through him that you can be justified. It's through him that you can be forgiven. So, back in Hebrews, he says, verse 3 and 4, but in those sacrifices there's a reminder of sins every year, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Says, it is not possible for the blood of mere animals to have the power to justify anybody. It says, it's just not possible for them to take away sins. Only Christ could do it. So that's why he says, those Old Testament sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins every single year. In other words, they were brought up every year. The sins that those people had committed for those 365 days, they were remembered. And then for the next year, those sins that they committed during the 365 days would be remembered. Over and over and over again, those sins would be remembered. But now, our sins are never brought up to us again. That's the difference. So when we obey the gospel and our sins are forgiven, then they're never remembered. Oh, well, thank you very much. That is very much needed. That's another reason we live in a much better time than they did. Them, every time the Day of Atonement came around, they would be reminded of all those sins they had committed. Even though they had made sacrifices for them, they were still reminded of them. But we're not. Once a sin is forgiven for us, we never have to think about it again because it's completely gone. There's no more guilt. There's no more remembrance. God's never going to bring it up to us again. As far as he's concerned, it's done. It's erased. And so that is the big, big, big difference between the old and the new covenant. We never have to worry about our sins. Once they are forgiven, there is no more reminder. God has erased them, if you will, from his memory. Therefore, we live in a much, much, much greater time period. So therefore, remember that therefore is a key word. What he's getting ready to say is based upon what he's just said. Therefore, when he came into the world, talking about Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Of course, this is just a quotation from the Old Testament. It's a prophecy in Psalms about Christ. And it's basically Jesus making the statement. Even though David penned the words in Psalms 40, it's Jesus who's talking. So Jesus is the one saying these words. He's saying, a body you've prepared for me. Jesus had to have a fleshly, mortal, physical body. In other words, he couldn't die on the cross with a spiritual body because a spiritual body wouldn't die. So, in other words, a body had to be prepared for him. A physical, outward, fleshly body had to be prepared for him. So, without this mortal body, he couldn't have died on the cross. So there had to be a body for him so he could die on the cross. He says, in these burnt offerings and sacrifices, you had no pleasure. They couldn't take away sin. They couldn't take away the guilt. So Jesus says, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. And just think about all the times Jesus said while he was on earth that he didn't come to do his will, he came to do the will of the Father. He said it over and over and over again that that's why Jesus came. He came to do the will of the Father. Wasn't here for him, was here to do the will of the Father. So previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, then he said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. This is what he's been, you might say, getting around to saying. It was never God's will that Moses' law would be everlasting. As soon as Moses' law went into effect there on Mount Sinai, you know, in the wilderness, it already started to go away. It was temporary. It was never meant to last until the end of time. So that was God's will from the very beginning. And he said, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. Two laws, two covenants, two wills cannot be in effect at the same time. One has to supersede the other. That's why today when people go into their lawyer or whatever, if they're going to change their will, well, once they change the will, the old one they made is completely worthless. It has no effect. There's nothing binding about it at all. It's done with. And so you can't go back to the first one and get anything out of it. It's done. It's like it's tossed in the trash. It's fulfilled. It's done. So he says the same way with the first law, the law of Moses, the old covenant. When Jesus took it away on the cross, it was done with. There was nothing now binding in the old law for people to follow. He did away with it. So at his death, that one was done. And so now he brought into effect a new one, a different one. And then by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified is the same, comes from the same word as holy, comes from the same basic word as saints. Those who are set apart for God's purposes. So he says, we have been sanctified, we've been set apart, we've been purified, we've been made holy through the offering of Jesus' body once for all. And that's once for all time. Never, ever does he have to do it again. Those priests in the Old Testament offered sacrifices every day over and over and over again. Once a year, the high priest made those sacrifices on the Day of Atonement every year, year after year after year. But now, all that we needed was Jesus' one offering on the cross, period, once for all time, done. And never, never having to do that again for us. That's all it took. And he makes this comparison, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. See, Jesus, after his offering, the Bible says, after his sacrifice, when he ascended into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God. But these priests in the Old Testament, what did they do? They stood repeatedly making sacrifices. And he says those priests over and over again, he says those could never take away sins. They never took away those sins. The guilt still remained. But Jesus, not so. All they had to do was one time. Then he went down and sat by the right hand of the throne of God, and it was over. That's all he had to do. His job was done as far as making the sacrifice. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So those Old Testament priests, their work was never done. In other words, they made sacrifices on one day, then the next day they'd have to make sacrifices, the next day sacrifices. But Jesus, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and it was done. And he says in verse 13, and that's where we'll stop, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. And so Jesus is in heaven. He's waiting to come the second time. And when he comes the second time, there's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more of that at all. He is going to be done. So that's what's going to happen. He's waiting until his enemies are made his footstool.